Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
This morning we're going to look at what Jesus said about Jonah. It's from Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, turn there to verse 38, and the message is called, Be the Gospel. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But Jesus answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Many of you may remember that about 3 years ago, I preached a series of messages through Jonah called Running from God. The messages are still out there. They're on my blog site. The podcasts are still available, and the videos for some of the messages are still there on YouTube. The most amazing lesson to me in that series was not that Jonah was still alive after being inside the great fish for 3 days and three nights, because God can do miracles. I have no problem with the fact that God can do a miracle in this world. To me, the most amazing thing was the fact that the people of Nineveh turned to God after hearing a message from Jonah, which was the shortest message in history. Only 8 words, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah must be some preacher. 8 words and the entire city and even the king decrees that their kingdom, their city-state will turn towards the God of Jonah. What in the world happened? This morning, we're going to learn something very simple, but something very profound, that Jonah did not just preach the gospel to them, he actually became the gospel. Before we try to understand that and unpack what this really means, the question I'm going to ask to you and then work on that for a few moments. Have you ever heard the old adage? You are the only Bible some people will ever read. Have you ever heard that? You are the only Bible. I want to tweak that a little bit. You are the only gospel some people will ever see. Meaning, it's not enough to preach the gospel, we also have to live it out. Somewhere there is a disconnect. What we think is what's going to get people saved is a track. Here's a track. After I eat my lunch and leave a pathetic tip, I'm going to leave a gospel. Somehow you're going to read that and go, oh, I got to get saved. Somehow we think all we need is just throw John 3:16 and Romans 10 at people, and somehow it just changes their lives. I'm not saying it cannot happen, but it's more that is needed. We have to demonstrate in our very lives the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What people want to see and they need to see is the gospel of salvation fleshing out in us. They need to see that, yes, there is a man in whom Jesus Christ lives. I can see him. He is no longer himself. He died to self. He was buried with Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can see the change in you. Can I ask you this morning? Can the people around you see the gospel of Jesus Christ in you? Here's a deeper question. Have you ever responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you, have you been to church? I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I didn't ask you if you joined a church and you taught Sunday school and went on mission trips. My question this morning is, have you actually heard the gospel of what it means that God came down, gave His life for me, died on in my behalf, and trusting in Him, I can be saved? And He is resurrected, not just in the world, but He's resurrected in me. You know, you cannot give the gospel if you don't have the gospel. I think part of the problem with a lot of people is this. They think people don't come to church anymore. They don't want to do Bibles. They don't care about. No, the problem is there is no gospel in you to give out. Are you saved? It's a question I ask every week. It's a biblical question. Hopefully, as we walk through this message, you will see what that really means. So let's begin. How did Jonah become the gospel to others? How did he become? I didn't say how did he preach. How did he become the gospel to others? Listen to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It began with a wake-up call. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. The Hebrew word arise is kum, which means get up. More than likely, Jonah was asleep. Arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. I believe this was not just a call from physical sleep, this was also a call from spiritual sleep. You say, how do you know that? What was Jonah's first response? What did he do? He ran from God. You know, when do people run from God? When they have sin in their lives. When they are disobeying God, they run from God. Case in point, Adam and Eve. Adam, where are you? Why did he run? Because they had disobeyed God. You see, there was some kind of sin, some kind of disobedience in Jonah, and that's the reason he ran. Now, I want you to get this principle here. When God awakens you to do something, don't just see it as something now you are going to do for God or for somebody. Primarily, it's for you. I think God's calling me to work with children. And you know, I need a lot of patience, so pray for me. It's not what you're going to do for those kids in the nursery or in Blaze or Awana. It's what God wants to do in your life. I think God's calling me to go help out with Kindle. You know, there are people so less fortunate than I am, and that just breaks my heart. It's not really about them, it's really about you. God wants to change your life. You know, I'm preaching here this morning, I'm doing this for you, but keep in mind, the first and primary beneficiary of this is me. Only God knows where I would be if I wasn't doing this. It began with a wake-up call, but what happens? Jonah runs. It unleashed a storm of troubles. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest like a cyclone on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. You know, Jonah made the same mistake that some people make. I know God is calling me. I know God wants to deal with me. For right now, I'm just going to turn God off. I'm just going to go the other way. Sometimes what people do is they just stop coming to church. And here's the thing, they blame me. Oh, Pastor Shaw, it feels like he's always singling me out. I feel like he is talking about me. I just can't take that anymore. Every time I go, folks, how do I break this to you? None of you are that important that every morning I put up your picture in front of me and say, let me see. Oh, yeah, this is going to really get her. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Now that will smash those toes. It's not. What is happening really is you're coming, the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, and you're running from God. Face the facts. Sometimes people even move cities. They move states. They say, I just need to start over. Instead of repenting from your sins and saying, God, help me, I just need to start. So sometimes I pick up new hobbies, new lifestyles, new friends. I'll give you another principle with this point. God may be out of your sight. God may be out of your mind, but you are never out of His reach. David said in Psalm 139, even if I make my bed in hell, you're there. So what happens next? God unleashes a storm of trouble on Jonah. It brought discipline from God. Jonah was a man of God. Jonah was a prophet of God. He knew right away, I know what's going on. God's after me. So guess what he says in verse 12? He said to them, the sailors, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will be calm for you. For I know this great tempest is because of me. Jonah did not commit suicide. Jonah did not say, just kill me and that'll be it. All Jonah had to do was what? Step overboard. He said, you guys have to pick me up and throw me overboard. You have to offer me up as a sacrifice, because unless you do that, this is really about me. My God is after me. My God is going to discipline me. This is not about punishment. This was about discipline. God is about to deal with me now. By the way, let me explain. There's a big difference between punishment and discipline. What is punishment? Punishment is when you're beating a child or beating somebody because you're mad at them for what they did. It is focused on the past. Discipline is never focused on the past. It is always focused on the future. Punishment is about, you did this, and for this, I'm going to do this to you. Discipline is you may still spank, or you may still do timeout, or whatever you do. Your purpose is, I don't want you to do this in the future, because you will lose your marriage, you will lose your job. This is not good for you, so keep this in mind. I want you to change. Jonah knew, throw me overboard, because it's discipline time. Something that God wants to teach me. Do you know what God wanted to teach Jonah? The very reason he ran. Why did Jonah run from God? You say he was disobedient. Yes. Why did he run? If you read the rest of Jonah, you'll realize that Jonah had a very difficult time understanding why in the world would the living God of Israel send him to the Assyrians. Why in the world would God want to save the pagans? I don't know. You must be having a bad day, God, because I'm not following this. You know what they did to us? I'm not going. God was going to discipline Jonah to change his mindset about the gospel. God was not, you didn't go, I'm just going to toss you upside down inside the fish until I break you and spit you out on the shore, and are you going to go or what? No, this was not that. God said, I got to teach you something, Jonah. I'm going to change what you believe about what I'm going to do one day. Jonah was about to get a glimpse of the coming death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior. How did that happen? Well, let's look at this for a moment. To start with, we just talked about it. Jonah did not just jump overboard. He had the sailors throw him into the raging sea. So also, Jesus was taken by lawless hands and nailed to the cross. When the fish swallowed Jonah and nosedived into the deep, I want you to hear what Jonah said. He cried out to God and said, I have been cast into the deep by you. Some versions have it, you cast me into the deep. Wait a minute, Jonah, you asked the sailors to do that to you. No, he said, no. God threw me into the sea. So also Jesus was not a victim of the cruel and the evil Roman soldiers or the hypocritical scribes and the Pharisees. Peter says he was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. On the one hand, it was the Roman soldiers nailing him. On the other hand, it was the Father who put him on the cross. Jonah felt abandoned by God, and he cried out, I have been cast out of your sight, So also Jesus, at the ninth hour, cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jonah described his physical condition inside the great fish as, "The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. And listen, weeds are wrapped around my head." So also Jesus, when he hung on the cross, death surrounded him. Sin overwhelmed him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. But what was wrapped around Jesus' head? A crown of thorns. Jonah describes how he was cut off from the earth. He says, "I went down to the moorings." Moorings means the very foundation, the roots of the mountains. "The earth with its bars closed behind me forever." So also Jesus, Isaiah says, he was cut off from the land of the living. I can go on and on. How long was Jonah inside the great fish? 3 days and three nights. How long was Jesus inside the grave? 3 days and three nights. What happened next? The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. What happened to Jesus on the third day? He spoke to the grave, and it spit Jesus out. You know what's amazing to me is this. When Jesus came back to life, he did not just appear in the temple. He did not just appear on top of the Mount of Olives. He did not appear on the Sea of Galilee walking in the water. He actually came back into the same grave and came out through the grave. The same God who told the fish to spit him out is the same God who told the grave, "You can't hold him down. Let him go." You see, Jonah was not being punished inside the whale or the big fish. Instead, he was being disciplined to see what the gospel is really about. The gospel of Jonah is not you, my chosen people. The gospel is one day the Savior is coming, who will die for the sins of the entire human race. He will be buried and he will rise again. Let me give you another principle here. When God disciplines his children, his goal is not pain. His goal is progress. Sometimes I hear people say things like, you know, if they hear of somebody getting cancer, or they get cancer, or they have a wreck, or they lose a job, or something bad happens to them, tons of things happening, you know, "God is punishing me for years ago, I did this and this." If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is not going to punish you. He will discipline you. If you get into sin, if you disobey him, he will take you to the woodshed, but he will not leave you bruised and battered on the floor. He will not leave you splattered with blood. Instead, he will leave you coming out resembling his son, Jesus Christ. I have been through discipline many times, folks. Every time I allowed God to work in my life, I became more and more like Christ. What happened next? It led to a great outpouring of salvation. Listen to Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." Now you got to pay attention to every word. God says, "Now go, I will give you the message." I thought the message was, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." No, no. God says, "I'll give you the message. Now go." Before we look at the message, let me say a word or two about the city of Nineveh. Now you have to pay attention this morning. Nineveh was the most ancient, one of the most ancient cities of the world. You find it in the book of Genesis in the early chapters. It was in Assyria. And its name was from the Sumerian logogram. You know what a logogram is? Like Egyptian, if you ever seen the hieroglyphs, if the word is a bird, it's like, I'm just making this up, it'll be a bird. It'll be a stick figure of a bird. If the word is an eagle, it'll be a stick figure of an eagle. Or the word is an alligator, it's a stick figure. And from there they made words and ideas. And many of them look like the objects. Did you know that the logogram Nineveh is a fish? Now, there was another town nearby with a similar name, Nineveh, which worshipped the fish goddess Nanshe. If you notice in that imagery up on the screen, in the middle, what does she look like? Like a mermaid. Half fish and half human. More than likely, the people of Nineveh also worshiped the same fish goddess. Their symbol was the fish. A Greek historian by the name of Berossos tells us that the Assyrians had a myth that a half-fish, half-man god called Oannes, or listen carefully, Oanna, came to them from the sea and brought to them wisdom and arts and sciences. Now, this is just a myth. This is not true. This is what people do. They want to worship other gods instead of the living true God, so they create stories. Half fish, half man God came out of the sea and brought to them wisdom and sciences and knowledge. In the 19th century, an archaeologist went into Nineveh for the first time, and outside, by the way, this picture is not from Nineveh. This is from another place in Iraq. Nineveh, by the way, is in Iraq. And outside a large chamber, there was a bas relief, a carving on the wall of something that looked just like this. Half fish, half human, the god Oannes, Oanna. Now, the text doesn't tell us, but I can only imagine what Jonah looked like when he approached Nineveh. Now, how long was he inside the big fish? 3 days and three nights. You know, they tell us that whales have a multi-layered stomach. The first level is where the food goes down, just like a cow or a deer. I'm an expert farmer, too. The cow. Why do the people laugh? You can't see me drive a tractor or anything like that. Okay, anyways, I don't know. So anyways, the first level is where the food is broken down. And then if you see a cow out in the pasture, it's, you know, it's chewing the cud. Brings it back up, chews the cud. Then it goes into the second layer where all the gastric digestive juices begin to attack it and they digest it. This man was inside a big fish for 3 days and three nights. I don't know if he made it to the second layer or not, but I can imagine he is lathered with gastric juices. What do you think is going to happen with all that acid is working on him? Picture with me. This big fish drifts up onto the shore. Now, what people typically think is like the big fish comes to the shore, spits him out, and then back fins all the way back into the water. I think it just came and died. And I can picture this big whale-looking thing comes up onto the shore, and people begin to gather, and it's still alive, it's still breathing, and then it, blah. And as they're watching all this junk, they see this man crawling out. Oh, my goodness. What are you doing in there? What are you doing in there? Do you think I crawled in here? How long you been in there? You got 3 days, three nights. Where are you headed to? Nineveh. To the fish town. And you came out of the fish. Are you a god? No, I'm not a god. In fact, my God told your God to swallow me and spit it back out. You don't have a God. Mine is the real God. And here, I hope he took a bath. If not, it would have been very fishy. You know, he comes to the gates of Nineveh. People are following him. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us all the details. And here he comes, and they go, this guy, I saw him. He came out of the fish. And then the sailors remember him. It's like, oh, that's the guy. We saw him getting swallowed. Man, that was 3 days ago. And Jonah gives them the gospel. By his very being. He doesn't begin with, folks, what we think is all he said was 40 days and you're out. I believe he began the gospel with, you know, I'm the prophet Jonah. Yeah, your name sounds very familiar. I'm the prophet Jonah. I worship the God of Israel. But I found out he is also the God of Assyria. And one day he is sending someone who will die for your sins. and he will be buried. And just the way this fish spit me out, the grave is going to spit him back out, and he is a living God. You got 40 days to make your choice. And the entire city said, looking at you, we believe it. Because no one can do what you just did. Even the king said, even put the animals in sackcloth. I mean, how do you get animals to repent? They were so moved by the person of Jonah, they said, even the animals got to repent. Put everybody in repentance mode. Now, I know some of you are looking at me going, that's too much speculation. I don't know. I want you to see what Jesus said. We read what he said in Matthew. I want you to see what he said in Luke chapter 11. Read it very carefully with me. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, Jesus began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now, we saw that in Matthew. But now he says something very interesting. What does he say? Verse 30. For as Jonah, say it with me, Jonah became a sign. He didn't say Jonah gave you the sign. He said Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites. So also the Son of Man will be to this generation. Folks, it was not just 8 threatening words that changed that city. Jonah in his body represented the gospel of Jesus Christ. They could see the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the coming Savior. And they said, we got to get saved. You don't need a fish experience to tell people about Jesus. But everything we go through in life should testify to the world of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in you. In your marriage, your wife should be able to tell, this is no longer that man who used to be. He died with Christ. He was buried with him, and he rose to walk in newness of life. The reason your children don't listen to you because you throw scriptures at them, let them see your life represent the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You know why the neighbors don't get saved? You know why the friends don't come? Because they hear you saying, well, John 3:16, that's all I'm going to say to you. Live it out. Show them that you are no longer the old. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, I can't give up some habits now. You know me, I mean, I try. Now, I'm a good Christian. You know why you can't give up the habits? Because you're not trusting in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's the same power that God exerted in raising Christ from the dead. It is available to you. The time is over to leave a track on the table, to throw people John 3:16. Like Jonah, you have to become a sign. With your life, with your testimony. And how can you do that? It's the job of the Holy Spirit to help you. That's why he's given to you. You know what the Holy Spirit does for me and does for you? He makes the life of Jesus real in me. Can people see Jesus in you? I didn't say the meek and mild Jesus who walks around helping the poor and feeding the hungry. No, I want to ask you, can people see the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus in you? That will change this entire nation around.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And remember, it's not enough to share the gospel with our words. It is also important to share it with our lives. Be the gospel. Be a representation of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org and for today's sermon notes, my blog site at abidanshaw.com.